Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on what has been a very big day for St. Louis, for the St. Louis Cardinals, for sports fans in the region, and for us here at KMOX as we welcome you in to a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for the next 2 hours until 8 o'clock, and then even after that, at 8 o'clock, we're going to have the replay of the Gas House Gang from earlier today, which was more reaction from the Heim Bloom press conference. So very quickly, here's what's going on over the next 2 hours, because very, very busy. Tom Ackerman's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Our sports director here at KMOX want to get his perspective on everything that was said and done today regarding Heim Bloom. Later on this hour, we are going to start the John Rooney exclusive interview with Heim Bloom. There is one radio station in the market that got to talk to Heim Bloom one-on-one, and it is KMOX. So the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, had about a half-hour conversation with Heim Bloom. They talk about a ton of stuff, and we are going to start playing that for you. 6:35, 6:40, right in there. That will take us to the 7 o'clock news, and then coming back from the 7 o'clock news, we will continue. Great. You've heard a little bit of, if you've been with us here on KMOX today, played a bit of it during Dave Glover's show, played a bit of it during the Rush Hour, and now we're going to play the entire thing. So that's going to be coming up. As we continue on the 7 o'clock hour, I know there's a lot of people listening who have not heard everything that was said in the press conference today. We're going to go back through much of what was said, not everything, but much of what was said from Heim Bloom. And then we are going to wrap up the show with another conversation with Heim Bloom as he spoke with me for about 5 minutes, and I'll play for that for you. So just from a matter of like where we're at, you can certainly call or text 314-436-7900. Probably text would be better today, at least for now. You can send in messages if you're watching the video stream. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll try to grab a comment here and there and discuss it. But today is more about the reaction, but today's more about the information, the raw kind of data, I guess you can say, listening in to what Heim Bloom had to say. This starts an entire off-season of conversation, and we've got Sports Open Line almost every night here moving forward, so we'll have time to talk through this. We'll have time to take your phone calls and your texts and tweets and future shows. Tomorrow we'll be on 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, so we'll get to that. Don't worry. This is something that we'll continue to talk through, because I am curious with the reaction. I feel like the fact that it was announced that Oliver Marmol's coming back, which, by the way, that was always going to happen. I laughed yesterday because we got a call yesterday that said at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, is Heim Bloom going to announce that Yadier Molina is the Cardinals' new manager? And my answer was no. And I got text messages yesterday and I got tweets yesterday from people predicting that not only would Oliver Marmol not be back as the manager, that today was going to be the day where that announcement was going to be made. And that was never going to happen. Even if they would have decided to move on from Marmol, that wouldn't have been decided today. And they certainly wouldn't have had a new guy lined up. Like, that was kind of crazy talk, right? So, unfortunately, I think unfortunately for Heim, and this is why I have very, very, very purposefully set things up where we're going to hear a ton from Hein Bloom today, because that's the story. That's the story. What hijacked the story today was the announcement that Oliver Marmol is going to be back next year. To me, that's not a story. We knew that was going to happen. Anybody who watched and was paying attention to what was going on could tell you, absolutely, they were not going to make a managerial change this offseason. So I've seen, like, on our Facebook, and you know, you never read the comments on Facebook, right? On our Facebook, I have just seen the number one commented thing here today has been about the fact that Oliver Marmol's going to be back. And we know that for a certain percentage of the fan base, they don't like Oliver Marmol. Marmol is not the most popular person. I actually think his popularity has grown this year because I think people have started to see that it was a roster issue and not a managerial issue. And people have seen that Ollie got more out of this roster than you should have. So people have started to see that. But this today isn't about Oliver Marmol's going to be back next year. Today is about Hein Bloom as the Cardinals president of baseball operations. And he's in charge now. And he's going to be making up the roster. And he's going to have some tough decisions to make. And he's going to be bringing in, overseeing the infrastructure and all that. That's the story today. And it's an exciting story for the Cardinals. Because Bloom's a super smart dude. Bloom is somebody with a good track record. Unfairly, from a national standpoint, he gets connected to Mookie Betts getting traded in Boston. But I think if anybody who really knows what happens there is that was an owner meddling. And now we see right now with the Boston Red Sox, Hein Bloom is largely to credit with the fact that I can look up to my right now and see the Boston Red Sox playing a playoff game. He deserves a ton of the credit for what's going on. And my belief is that he was given more assurances that he was going to be able to see that thing through in Boston. And then you have a meddling owner that it didn't end up working out that way. And he was forced to trade Betts. And, oh yeah, by the way, you have to send Price along with him. So then that just tanks the value of Betts because Price has to be connected to him. That was an ownership issue. So you go look at what Boston has done since. Then you go look at Tampa Bay. You go look at all these things. Hein Bloom has an amazing track record. And he's somebody, I don't know how long it's going to take. We're looking at Boston in the playoffs right now. Hein hasn't been there in a couple years. I think the Cardinals are probably a little bit ahead of where Boston was when he got there. And the fact that the Cardinals already have a top 10 minor league system just in 1 year of Hein overseeing it. So they're a little bit ahead, but that tells you that this is a project. This is a project, and he's all in on the project. And I think at the end of the day, the project is going to look pretty darn good. All right, so again, the exclusive interview, Hein Bloom with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. That's going to air in about 20 minutes. Before that, we will hear from KMOX Sports Director Tom Ackerman. He joins us in just a moment on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX on Hein Bloom Day. Earlier today, he was officially introduced, as you heard here on KMOX. We've been pretty much non-stop Hein Bloom coverage throughout the day. It's been a really fun, good KMOX day. And anytime something big happens here in St. Louis and with the Cardinals, I think it's always good to get the perspective of our sports director here at KMOX, Tom Ackerman, who was part of the coverage this morning. It was a lot of fun being able to be on the air with him. And now he's going to join us for a few minutes here on Sports Open Line. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, Matt? It has been Hein time. Like, Heimapalooza today. We've just been going nuts over this story, and rightfully so. I mean, it is a big day in Cardinals history, without a doubt.
Yeah, you've covered this team. You've been around this team for really the vast majority of your life when you think about your time here at KMOX. as you listen to what was said today and know the history of the Cardinals organization and know the expectations that Cardinals fans have for this team, what strikes you as Haim tries to get this team back on the right path and back to being a team that can legitimately win the World Series?
Well, I absolutely thought of it from a fan's perspective. And I think I try to do that often when it comes to the Cardinals, try to understand this fan base. I grew up one, as did you, you know, growing up in this town and understanding its place in St. Louis, but also what is talked about, what people want out of the team. And they want to be entertained. They want to win. And you could say all you want about Cardinals fans. People will call them spoiled, or they'll say that, you know, it was easy to be a Cardinals fan when they were winning. Cardinals fans who go back to the 60s, and there are a lot of them listening to us in our audience right now, have been through a lot of different ups and downs. The 60s were great. The 70s were not. The 80s were a resurgence. The 90s were not until Tony La Russa came around in 96. I should say Bill DeWitt in 95 and Walt Jocketty. And that's kind of when I started, 97, in Tony's second year. And since then, with the exception of a few years here and there, we have had incredible success in this town and a lot of championships. But over the last decade, they have not been back to the World Series, and they have slowly bowed out of making themselves into a serious contender. They've made the playoffs, but they haven't made a run to the NLCS since 2019 when they got swept. We all know the history. So I listened to Haim today from a fan's perspective, and he hit all the right notes. He said all the right things early, talking about the Cardinals' history. In fact, when he gave out his thank yous to start, he thanked the fans. It was a way of saying, I've been watching you. I've been paying attention. I know this is not easy, but thank you for your loyalty. He knows they're out there. Now it's a matter of explaining to them, and this is the important point, Matt, is he needs to be, and he is, the voice of the team. He is going to be the face of the team. They do not have one. They don't. I mean, Ollie Marmol, we'll get into that in just a minute. I'm still amazed how many people still want Ollie out of there. But anyway, Ollie's not the face. Arenado certainly isn't the face. None of the pitchers are. None of the players are. The face of the team is Haim Bloom until they have star power coming back to this team. So he is going to be in charge of conveying the message clearly and concisely. And I think that he is actually very smart, but he's also a very confident speaker. And that's an important point here. So he did that very well. But Cardinals fans are too smart. So they're going to listen to all of that. They're going to listen closely, and they're going to say, that's great. But we are all about, this is the show me state, bud. You're going to have to show us what's going on. We want action. And you're going to have to deliver it over the next few years and at the same time describe along the way what you are doing. So far, I think Haim, in that address, in spending what I understand was nearly an hour with local writers today, in spending a few minutes with you and spending a few minutes with me and spending a few minutes with TV, and then a long portion with John Rooney, not to mention our TV broadcasters, Chip and Brad, he spent a lot of time today conveying that message. Mm-hmm. So that was impressive to me. I think it's a really good start.
Again, we'll have the John Rooney interview in about 15 minutes here on KMOX, so you definitely want to be tuned in for that. I'm a little bit bummed, Tom, that we all knew, like anybody who's really watching this, knew that Oliver Marmol was going to be back next year. I know that when that's confirmed, the tweets have to be sent out and everything. But my goodness, you look at the fan reaction to this. Unfortunately, well, it's a really cool day for the Cardinals in the announcement of, you know, the introduction of Haim Bloom and just being able to listen in to all the cool new stuff that's going to be happening moving forward. That's kind of been hijacked by a group of fans that are, you know, expressing the fact that they're not happy about Marmol coming back.
Yes. It was just pointed out to me that Instagram, our KMOX Sports Instagram, is filled with comments of negativity. That doesn't surprise me. I think that our Twitter account has had some of that as well. I'm not typically on Instagram as much anymore, nor am I on Facebook as much. I'll do occasionally get sent a link to it. I'm heavily on Twitter/X, so I kind of follow comments in that way. Our YouTube commentary today on the Gashouse Gang, was split. There was some negativity, and there were others who just sort of understood that that was going to be the case. You know, I'm a little surprised, but not totally. And as mentioned,
sorry, I was switching off my Bluetooth. You know how that goes, right, Matt?
Yeah, you're still there.
I want to make sure I'm a little clear, and make sure that I hammer this home. The manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, the head coach of the Fighting Irish, the head coach at Kentucky basketball, you know, these are high profile jobs where that person is out front. They're the one that is seen the most, and therefore they're the ones that take the most when it comes to criticism. And Ollie has taken that for whether it's right or wrong. It's just the way that it is. And until the team starts to win, fans are going to point their anger at the person that they see the most. And now that John Mozeliak is gone, they turn their attention to Ollie Marmol. It's not fair. I totally agree with that, but it's just the way that it is. Tony La Russa took heat since I've been covering this team, maybe more than all of them combined, and he's the one who won two world championships. Yeah. Mike Matheny, Mike Schild, and now Ollie Marmol. But the more concerning thing to me is the messaging. Like, how in the world did people not follow? I'm not assuming that every single person in the world is listening to Camel X or following the Gas House King, but how did you follow this whole season and not know that he was coming back? I mean, how many times have we said it? I don't know how people could have, and I don't know where the rumor starts that they're going to hire Yachty or that they're going to hire, you know, somebody else, Joe Madden, right? Like, I don't understand sometimes how these things get out there, although in the world that we're in right now, you can get information anywhere and think that it's credible or real. The reality was always that Ollie was coming back. We said it a million times. You could hear it in his voice. He talked about visiting with Haim. I mean, I don't know what other information you want. I'm not saying that he's the greatest manager in baseball. I'm saying that for this moment right now, it was very clear that Haim and Ollie were getting along and that he was the best fit for this current movement, which is a rebuild. I mean, you can just say what it is, that they felt like he was the right man for that job at this time.
Tom, great stuff. I know it's been a long day for you. You started first thing this morning with the morning show, and then we had 3 hours of coverage from the ballpark today, which was awesome. I really enjoyed that. Got to get on the radio with you more often, but thanks for finding a few minutes with us tonight here on Sports Open Line.
Well, buddy, you did a great job today. I always appreciate your coverage, and I'll be listening tonight, and then I'll invite people tomorrow morning on their way to work. If they want to hear a little bit more, we will have it.
Awesome.
No doubt. And you know, it just begins. The off season is underway, and it's a very important one.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud.
You bet. Thank you. That's Tom Ackerman joining us here on the program, KMOX Sports Director. We are less than 15 minutes away from the exclusive John Rooney conversation with Haim Bloom, the only extensive radio interview you are going to hear with Haim Bloom in St. Louis. It's with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. It's coming up in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. We're continuing on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're going to have a pretty quick segment right here, and then stick with us because in our next segment, that's when we start for you the exclusive conversation between the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, and the new president of baseball operations for the St. Louis Cardinals, Haim Bloom. This is the first radio interview that Bloom did. You're not going to hear him on any other station, and you'll be able to hear him right here. So it's about a half-hour conversation. We'll take some of it up until the 7 o'clock news, and then we'll continue on with it after the 7 o'clock news. So you do not want to go anywhere. That's coming up in just a few moments. A few text messages that have come in. Some good questions. Text message from the 314 says, why are people continuing to talk about the Tampa Bay Rays? They never won a World Series. It's proven that their philosophy does not work for a championship. I would actually agree with that. Now, they've had a deep playoff run, but you're right. They've never won a championship. I think this is going to be the difference. And when Bloom was asked today, and we'll play some of the press conference audio next hour, when Bloom was asked about that, he said, you know, you can't just go try to do what the Rays did. So the difference is going to be that the Rays draft and develop high-end talent and then they trade them away. The goal is going to be more like kind of the Atlanta model for the Cardinals, where they do draft and develop those high-end players like the Rays did, but then they've got the financial ability to lock guys in for the long term. So that's the difference. So I think when we compare them to the Rays, it's more about developing the players. It's not about the finished product, because to the Texters' credit, yeah, they have not won a championship. You have to keep, if the Rays were able to hold on to a lot more of their players, they likely would have won a World Series at some point. They just don't have the financial ability to do that. The Cardinals do. Text message from 618 says, I'm pretty sure some of the negative feelings against Ollie are based on the way Mike Schilt was let go. I think it was assumed that Marmol would be a yes man for the organization. I think that's right. I don't think he is a yes man for the organization, but I think he goes about his differences in a different way than Schilt did, and probably learned something from that situation. I actually think those two are probably pretty like-minded on a whole bunch of things. Message comes in, says, this is actually an interesting question, says, it's not that I don't like Ollie. I don't blame most of the problems on him. It's the roster, but no playoffs in 3 years and two losing seasons in 3 years. Why not fire Ollie? Look at some of the other teams that have fired their managers in similar situations. If this is true, a fresh start they may need. A manager may be Albert or Yachty to help put butts in the seats. If you are a president of baseball operations and you are firing a manager because of public press, like, honestly, so today Heim Bloom said something along the lines of, we need to be, we'll play it later, but essentially we need to be bold and we need to believe in what we believe and do it, even if it's not what the rest of, you know, believe in what you think is right. The easiest thing to do for the Cardinals would be fire Oliver Marmol. It would placate a lot of fans. It would give more of that fresh start feeling. And yeah, but they believe in him, and I think rightfully so. And if you're making a managerial change just because you want more people to be sitting in the seats at the ballpark, that shouldn't be the motivation. The motivation of a president of baseball operations is to have people in place that are going to help you win as many games as possible. And they believe that is Oliver Marmol, or at the very least, they believe that as they continue to go through this rebuild and having young teams that are maybe not competing at the highest level, that Ollie's the right guy. And we'll continue to monitor this as you go along. Okay, so text message from 314 says, I hate this. I know you guys are rights holders of the Cardinals, so you have to say nice or good things, but Heim Bloom's word vomit sounds the same as Mo last year. Yes, I know he wasn't going to say anything, so I don't know why either side would want a press conference to waste both sides' time and effort. We're rights holders, but I'm critical of the team when I need to be critical of the team, and I've never been pushed in any other direction. And I think if you were really listening, what Bloom talked about today is different, and this is going to look very different. John Mozeliak and Heim Bloom have very different baseball philosophies. And if you took away today that, oh, this is just more of the same, this sounds like something that would come out of Mo's mouth, well, then you weren't listening. You had a bias going into it, and it didn't really matter what was said because it's different. It is going to be different moving forward. And sometimes different is better. Sometimes different is worse. I think different is better in this situation. But the Cardinals needed a new voice. Cardinals needed a new voice for sure. You are going to hear the voice of Heim Bloom. An exclusive radio conversation with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. That's on the way next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. We are with you for a little bit more than an hour more as we'll take you until 8 o'clock this evening, and you're going to hear a whole lot of Heim Bloom between now and 8 o'clock. And let's start with something that's very cool. The voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, doing the first long-form radio interview with Heim Bloom as the president of baseball operations for the club. We're going to get right into it. We'll play a little bit of it. We'll stop for the 7 o'clock news, and then we will continue on with this conversation just after the 7 o'clock news. So go ahead and sit down. You're going to enjoy this, I think. So I'll hand things off to the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, and as he opened up the conversation with Heim Bloom, Bloom made it very clear that he's excited for this day, excited for the opportunity, excited to move into the role as the president of baseball operations for the Cardinals.
Feels great. I'm excited to be here. I was just saying on my way here, I've walked past this room dozens of times now, but I've never actually been in it. So appreciate you having me. Excited to get going in this role. Obviously, in some ways, it feels like a continuation because I've been in the organization now for a couple years, and it's really good to have a lot of relationships already in place, but I'm excited to get to work.
Before we talk about those 2 years, tell us, how did a young man from Philadelphia become interested in baseball? You had so many different avenues you could have gone from your educational background. You did some writing before you joined a team as an intern and your work with the Rays. But how did you get interested in the game to begin with?
I loved it from a young age. Just fell in love with the game. I also have, to put it mildly, not very much athletic ability. So it was pretty clear that I was not going to be able to play the game at a high level. Little League was about as far as that went. So if I was going to be involved in the game, which over time I just became, I increasingly wanted to do, if I was going to get involved, I was going to have to find another way in. And then, you know, when I was in high school and especially early on in college, I just decided to give this a go. I had learned more about the front office side of the game. This was a point in time when pathways into front offices were just starting to really open up for people with backgrounds like mine. So I decided to try and scratch and claw and see if I could hustle my way in and then impress some people and build a career out of it. And I was really, really fortunate to get some opportunities that allowed me to do that.
From what I hear, you've always been fascinated by history, not just baseball history, but that seems to capture your interest. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did. I majored in Latin when I was in college. So you want to talk about history, that goes way back. That's one of the things that I really was interested in when I started to get interested in the game. The game has just such an incredible history. It's one of the cool things about being in this organization, for sure. And I actually think as I started to, make my passion my career, obviously there's a lot of things you can learn about the history of the game that may not be relevant to the things you're doing on a daily basis. But you also realize as you get into the game's history that, there's nothing new under the sun. A lot of things that we think might be new in this cyclical business are not. And there's definitely some things we can learn and some principles that we can take that are really lasting. And, that's one of the things that I've come to believe about what I do for a living and, what it means to build an organization is that your methods always have to be changing, but your principles, your values, those things are timeless.
From your time with San Diego and then you hook on with the Tampa Bay Rays, what did you think of the Cardinal organization at that point? How did you see the Cardinals looking from the outside?
Well, just like the rest of baseball, I saw the Cardinals win a whole heck of a lot during that time. And I saw the Cardinals win with homegrown players. And really, one of the things that stood out, I alluded to it today when I was speaking from the podium. The Cardinals in that era were really changing the way that people in the game thought about using information to help in the draft and using information to make major league acquisitions. And a lot of people who, in many cases, who are still here were a big part of that. And it was just the latest example for me of how the Cardinals just found ways to get out front. They found ways to beat the industry to things that could help you win. That's always been part of the legacy here. And it always has been an organization that stood out for just the tremendous history and the tradition of winning. But, you know, when I was starting my career, you saw the Cardinals doing some things and finding competitive edges that other teams weren't finding. And I think that's always been a huge part of the organization's success.
I found something very interesting in the press conference, though. You were talking about the Rays and how they developed their model, and you looked at the Cardinals and other organizations, but you also said that it has to deal with what you're doing in the moment, because what works for the Rays in one respect may not work in Boston or in St. Louis. If you could explain that.
Yeah, you just have to be yourself. You are always going to be best by being the best version of who you are. That's different for every organization. And I think one of the things that's essential, especially when you join a new organization, is to figure out what makes that organization unique, whether it's something bigger in the identity of the organization or whether it's something maybe smaller that you might not know until you get within the walls and get curious enough to find out what's working. What do we do really well? That's going to be different in every place. And just figuring out, just like you would for a player, every player who walks in the door is going to be a little different. And so much of what we try to do is help those players figure out who they are, find their superpowers, and try to accentuate those. And I think it's the same for organizations.
You've had 2 years with the Cardinals evaluating what's going on in development. What have you learned out of those 2 years?
You know, it's been a really interesting time and honestly really satisfying in a lot of ways, because I got to do that at ground level in 2024 when I was, you know, essentially, you know, functionally, I was pretty much a consultant. But the exciting thing for me, the way that I was able to do that work was really to try to, you know, get in the trenches with our people. And over the course of that year, I sat with dozens of Cardinal employees and just really tried to see the world through their eyes. And when you do that, you really understand that your people see things that you may not see from above. And I was able to combine some of my own thoughts, my own observations, things that I've learned in different places I've been, different experiences that I've had, and combine those with the experiences of our people on the ground. And that really helped me with the roadmap for what we've done this year with our new leadership and player development, how we've set things up to unify player development and performance and make sure everybody's pushing in the same direction towards the goals that we have. So being able to have those experiences to chart that roadmap and then take the first steps on that roadmap has been really cool. And look, when you're trying to make positive change, there are going to be peaks and valleys. It's going to be uncomfortable. It should be uncomfortable. If we stay within our comfort zone, we will never be as good as we need to be. And that was one of the things that for me was an emphasis of making sure, whether it was your first day here, or you've been in this organization for 30 years, that you were okay with being a little uncomfortable. And that's how we get to something that's going to be better than what any of us could do individually.
Hein Bloom is in day one of his new baseball career here as the president of baseball operations and joining us on KMOX and the Cardinals radio network and talking a little bit about history, the Cardinal history with Whitey Herzog and with George Kissel. And what have you been able to take in from all of that and maybe take a few things as you go forward with what you're trying to implement now in your job?
Yeah, well, you know, again, I think these guys just they weren't afraid to do the things that they thought were right. Even if they were different, they weren't afraid to take the right kind of chances. And they were looking to build something great, and they were ambitious in what they were trying to accomplish. You know, the more that you look at what these guys did, it was really just, again, they were winners. They were trying to help win, and they were trying to break that down to its most basic building blocks and say, what can we do with players? What can we do with team building? What can we do with our day-to-day prep that's going to enable us to win the most? And when that's your guidepost, you know, you always have a chance to do something good.
I spoke with you about this time last year, and I was fascinated by your answer to this question. How important is winning at the minor league level, as you had a winner last year at Class A down at Palm Beach and a winner this year at Double A? And I'm told there are 4 or 5 really good major league prospects out of that Double A team. But how important is winning?
Well, that's why we do this. We do this to win. Now, all that being said, I think we want to get there the right way in the minor leagues. We want to get there through good development. I think one of the messages that we gave our staff this year, because there's that sort of debate, that age-old debate in the minor leagues, you know, what's more important, winning or development? And I think in some ways, I actually think it's a little bit of a false premise. Like I kind of reject that question. Yeah, sure, there are going to be times when a manager might hold back from making a move that he might make if it were a big league game, where because you want to give a prospect a chance, even if strategically that might not be the best thing for winning the game. But really, those things, I think, are more on the margins. I think the big thing that gets missed in this debate, and you know, I actually had the opportunity to have some good conversation with some of our people and emphasize this. We should always, when it's 7 o'clock, those lights go on, we should always care about winning. The thing that I think we need to really focus on in the minor leagues, and frankly, in the major leagues too, but this was where we wanted to shift our focus in the minor leagues, is if you're a minor league manager, we shouldn't judge you primarily on your wins and losses at 7 o'clock, because you don't control who's on your roster. You don't necessarily control how those kids play. They're all developing. They're all going to make mistakes. But how are you winning between 1 and 6? How are you creating an environment every day that's going to allow all those players to advance towards the goals that they need to hit in order to be big leaguers? How are you creating an environment that's going to teach these kids how to play the game the way they need to play? How are you creating winning habits in these players? And if we win 1 to 6, 7 o'clock is going to take care of itself. And we're going to build the types of players who are ultimately going to be winning players that are going to be able to win up here. And so it's really not so much about winning versus development. It's about winning at development. It's about looking at all of that through the lens of, you know, we need to do this better than anybody else. If you're a minor league manager, you're not just competing with the opposition. You're competing against the 29 other people that have your job and waking up every day trying to kick their butts. And that's how I view my job. That's how, you know, I've encouraged our whole staff to think about their jobs that way. For most of us, there's 29 other people that get to do what we do. And we got to outcompete them every day. There's no scoreboard. You'll never know if you did it. But if we have that mindset day after day, we're going to go places.
In your time with John Mozeliak over the last couple of years leading up to today, and how you'll shape the roster and shape everything going into spring training in Jupiter, what do you see out of the group that took part in the 2025 season?
Our group at the big league level.
Big league level.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of talent here, and I said it from the podium. We know we need more, but there is a lot of good talent on hand. I'm impressed by how this group goes about its business. I think some of that is a reflection on our staff and just the attitude that they take to this, the togetherness that they have, and the care they have for our players. We definitely have a group that certainly in a lot of cases, these guys, I think their best days are ahead of them. We saw some really good things from some guys, and we saw some guys who kind of struggled to get out of neutral and really more just showed flashes. So I think the question for us as we go into the offseason, outside of any decisions that we need to make on them or make on the roster, is how do we take these guys that showed us flashes of potential of what they could be and try to help them build their offseasons in ways that allows that to be more the norm? So much of being a good big leaguer is consistency. You know, I've always thought that if you go into a double A clubhouse or a triple A clubhouse and you look around, pretty much everyone in those clubhouses on their best day is good enough to be in the big leagues. The difference is that the guys that get here and stay here perform at that level 8 or 9 days out of 10. And a lot of the guys that don't get there will only show that to you once or twice. So the question is, with these guys in the big leagues who have shown it to us, but not necessarily shown it to us every day, how can we get them training and routines that's going to enable them to hit their top end more consistently?
Mike Claiborne mentioned to me he was down by the dugout Friday, the last Friday of the season in Chicago, a game where the Cubs scored 12 runs. But he said Ollie, the other coaches, kept teaching. They kept coaching. They kept going through moments in the game, bringing up things to each player that they spoke with, and they did not give up. There was no mailing it in all the way through. And that's something I observed from up there in the booth. Everybody worked hard. Everybody got into the batter's box looking to give a good at bat each time they were in there. How did you see it?
Yeah, I see it the same way. I mean, look, there's plenty of things at all levels of this organization that I've tried to observe where I think there's room for us to take steps forward, areas that I want to push people, areas where I think I can help. Work ethic and care, not an issue. We have that in spades. You know, everybody really does not give up. They push, you know, they work till the last out, till the last game. That part is really, really impressive. I think, you know, I'm actually really happy about that, that I don't think there's people in here that I need to light a fire under or any of that. I think it's more about how do I help harness that, build systems around it so that we can be more purposeful, more organized, create more accountability around how we're doing these things and how that effort is manifesting. But man, we got a group of people here who really care about what they're doing. They take pride in this. They see getting to wear that uniform every day as the privilege that it is, and they don't take that lightly.
You are listening to an exclusive conversation between the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, and new Cardinals president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom. We are going to take a break for our 7 o'clock news, and then we're going to jump right back into this conversation right after the 7 o'clock news. And the next thing that you're going to hear Chaim Bloom talk about is his thought on the coaching staff, his thought on manager Oliver Marmol, and where they all stand going into the first year of the Chaim Bloom era of Cardinals baseball in terms of him being the president of baseball operations. So we'll continue with that conversation after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Welcome back in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. On this day, we're calling it Chaim Bloom Day, the day where Chaim is officially introduced as the Cardinals president of baseball operations. We had known for about a year that this day would be coming. Last year at their end-of-season news conference, they did announce that while John Mozeliak would have one more year as the president of baseball operations, Bloom would be moving into that role. And today is the day where it became official, and he met with us in the media for the first time. We've been listening into the first conversation, the first radio interview that Bloom did, and he did it with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. Hopefully you were with us for the first half of the conversation. If you missed it, you can always go back on the video stream or go back on the podcast, KMOX.com, Odyssey app. But as the conversation did continue between Bloom and the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, Bloom gave his thoughts on the current coaching staff and Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol.
I've really enjoyed getting to know them all. Looking forward to working with Ollie. You know, this role that I had previously has allowed me to get to know him, and we've built a good relationship. And I look forward to that continuing to grow in this seat. Obviously, in this seat, it's a little bit of a different kind of relationship. But, you know, really have enjoyed getting to work with him, getting to know him. As we got into conversations late in the season, just about what the future might hold, where I thought the organization needed to go, it felt to me like we were really on the same page as to that. Obviously, his seat's different from my seat, and so there's always things that we need to work together on, that we need to navigate, you know, and even at times that we might disagree on, and that's okay, but I've really enjoyed working with him, and I'm looking forward to building that relationship. And likewise with the staff. You know, this is a good group of folks. I expect that we'll have a lot of continuity there. And through the off season, you know, one of the things that I want to make sure I take the time to do is figure out, just like we ask our staff to push our players and to help show our players what we think they can do to improve, I want to be able to find opportunities to do that for our staff. I view that as one of the big responsibilities of this chair, is helping the, you know, 200-ish people who work here in baseball operations, help lift them up, help elevate them, help them to raise their game by letting them know where I think the opportunities are to do that, pushing them to do it, seeking their feedback, asking them to hold me accountable for the same thing. So I'm looking forward to an off season of that with our staff.
Does that include hiring more people to help with their preparation? Like some teams have four or five guys just looking at video, looking for tells on a pitcher, where you can steal a base where it's Ollie and Pop taking a look at that after they've done all their other prep work. And I know you've looked at that from the minor league standpoint. Will that be true at the major league level too, and hiring some more staff?
That specifically, what you mentioned, that area is actually something that I've thought a lot about and thought about different ways to help move us forward. Throwing numbers at it isn't always the solution. That's certainly an option. It is definitely, you know, that specific area you mentioned is definitely something that's been on my mind. Ollie and I have already had some conversations about how to help move that forward, because, you know, every team is doing this on some level. You want to make sure you're doing it most efficiently. You want to make sure you're looking at the things that are actually moving the needle on winning. And your most precious resource in this game is your time. And that's probably true in life, frankly, because it's the only thing that everybody has the same amount of, and you can't buy any more of it. And so making sure that we are set up so that everybody can spend their time in the ways that are the highest value is really important.
You mentioned Whitey took a lot of chances, and he backed up the truck in many respects when he first got here in shaping the roster that won the World Series against Milwaukee in 1982. How do you approach free agents and trades?
I think they're essential tools in our roster building. Like I said, I think the core of our success is always going to come from players that we develop and grow. That's always been how the Cardinals have won. And frankly, it's kind of the blueprint for how most teams who win consistently win. But making smart trades, making good free agent acquisitions is a big part of that. I just want to make sure that anything we do this winter on that front is really in sync with the goals that I laid out, that we don't get distracted from that and end up trying to run different directions at once. You try to run two different directions at once, you end up definitionally going nowhere. So we want to make sure we are running in the direction that we laid out and that any acquisitions that we make are in sync with that goal. But I hope we find a lot of opportunities both on the trade market and in free agency, because it means that we're lining up on moves that we think are going to help us.
Well, certainly with starting pitching and some arms for the bullpen, but how surprised were you with the way the bullpen performed after the trade deadline?
Yeah, it was really cool to see. You know, this is one of those things, I alluded to it, you know, today in the press conference, that sometimes when you are focused on, you know, quote unquote, the right things, you get some short-term benefits that you might not have expected. You know, we talked about giving opportunity to guys this year, and we talked about that in terms of doing it for the sake of our future. But you look at what happened, and, you know, Matthew Liberatore ran with his opportunity, and not only has he now established himself as someone who is capable of starting in this league, but we were probably better this year because we gave him that opportunity and he took it. At the deadline, you know, we made as an organization, and Mo made this very hard decision, even though we had a shot at a playoff spot. It wasn't quite the shot that we wanted to be able to warrant hanging on to those relievers that we moved. And that was tough to do. But you know what ended up happening is guys like Riley O'Brien and Matt Svaanson stepped up and, frankly, were better than the guys that they replaced. And they got they took advantage of that opportunity. So those are just ways in which when you do that, you sometimes can benefit yourself both long and short term. It's not always going to work out that way. The game's not always that simple. But, you know, sometimes, you know, when you do the right thing and the disciplined thing and following a plan, you end up realizing the benefits of those things. And those two guys I just mentioned, just really cool to see how far they've come. They deserve a lot of credit. So do our people who help them, both the major and the minor league level. It's not just the physical aspect of what they're able to do better, but the mental aspect of establishing themselves as big leaguers. And that's just as important. And they really turned a corner with respect to that.
I know the Cardinal fans are interested in the futures of Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras, Nolan Arenado, veteran players with good-sized contracts, and what the future holds for them with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, and each of those guys is a little bit different individually. I was able to talk with all three of them before the season ended. Great conversations, all class acts all around. Really enjoyed those conversations and just getting to know them over the past couple of years. Their situations just are all a little different. You know, with Nolan, this has obviously gotten a lot of coverage over the past year plus. I think he and we are both aligned that just because of where we are, both in terms of players and some of the roster depth we have on hand, in terms of where we are as an organization and where he's at in his career, that the best fit for him and for us may be for him to be somewhere else in 2026. And so we are going to partner with him and try to figure out what that could look like. Obviously, we won't have anything on that until we really get into the offseason. But, you know, that is a distinct possibility and something that could work out best for everybody and something that we're going to pursue. In the case of, you know, Sonny and Wilson, there's a little more nuance to it. Look, anytime you're talking about the long term, the way we're talking about it, there's always a chance and maybe a good chance that we may be presented with something, a trade opportunity for a player that just benefits us and is more in line with those goals. And we will think about those opportunities if they arise. And obviously with having no trade clauses, those players have a say in it. So they'll get a chance to decide on that. Both of them, I think, were very, very direct, very open, very clear with our media on where they stand. And, you know, in the case of somebody like Wilson, who's expressed that he wants to be here, wants to be part of this process, we appreciate that too. And that's something really that you love hearing from a player, that he feels this place has been enough of a home to him that he wants to see this through. And, you know, my hope is, you know, obviously that he ends up, if he's here, as he hopes to be, and as he may well be, if he's here, that he's able to really help us on that path. And I don't take it lightly that he cares that much. So we'll see what the offseason brings in all those cases. But, you know, a lot of times when you hear about potential trades, you know, it's thought of, they don't like this player. You know, none of that would be the case with any of these guys. it's really more just a question of, you know, is there something that makes sense for us and makes sense for them, given the goals that we have and where they are in their careers? And so we'll see what that brings, what happens with that during the offseason. Too early to know, but something that we will spend some time exploring.
And now you get to work a little bit closer with the DeWitts, and they've just done a wonderful job here in St. Louis of setting the tone, building a culture. And how does that look with what you have in mind for the culture you'd like to see with the St. Louis Cardinals and the DeWitt family?
Yeah, they've been super supportive. Their reputation in this industry is really, really good. A big reason why I came here. Just the consistency of how they've operated this organization has stood out. It's really easy in this business, especially as an owner, when you're in the public eye all the time and often taking heat, taking criticism, it's really easy to get distracted from how you want your team to be run. And usually the teams that are able to stay the most consistent end up having the most success. And in my chair, that's so much of what you want is just, you know, for the goalposts to stay in the same place so you can plan and you can strategize. And they've been very consistent with how they want this place to be run. They've always consistently wanted it to build from within. They've always supported it with investment. When the revenues have supported that and reinvested in the team, and they've been great with all the investments that I've looked to make on the infrastructure side since coming in here. They've been supportive of all of them, and those in the long run, I think, are really going to pay off. And it's been great talking baseball with them. This is a baseball family. This is about as much of a baseball family as there is. I mean, for our fans who don't know, go read up on the DeWitt family, and you'll see what I mean in terms of baseball being in the blood there. It really is a baseball family. That shows through. When you have a principal owner who will talk to you about the catcher defense comments in the game reports on a catcher you have in A-ball, I'm not even sure how many of our staff read the catcher defense comments in the game report, let alone our principal owner. That is not normal, and that's really cool.
As we wrap things up with Hein Bloom on his first day as Cardinals president of baseball operations, what's your message to the fans as you go forward?
Well, first of all, I just want all of our fans to know that I understand, as much as I think you can, as someone who's pretty new to this organization, how much this organization means to you. I obviously, growing up a baseball fan and understanding what it's like to live and die with what your team does, I know how many people have that type of connection with this organization. That's not something I take lightly. And I want to deliver to you, and we will deliver to you, what you're looking for out of this organization. And, part of the reason that I wanted to sketch out such a clear goal today is because I want it out there so that you, our fans, can hold us accountable to that. I wanted you to have the roadmap that we're trying to use as we think about moves so that you can think along with us. This is an incredibly smart fan base that follows this game very closely, that understands how the game works. So the clearer I can be with our goals, the more direct I can be, the easier it will be to follow us and to get behind, I hope, what we're doing, and ultimately to really feel every bit of the personal investment you deserve to feel in the product that's on the field and in the winning product that hopefully someday soon will be on that field.
Hein, thanks so much for taking time on a busy, busy first day as the president of baseball operations of the St. Louis Cardinals. Our door is always open upstairs in the radio booth for you, for your staff, and you're welcome anytime. And we look forward to this winter ahead. I think in my 20-plus years now with the Cardinals, this is going to be one of the most interesting off seasons I've ever seen.
It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Fantastic conversation there between the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, and the new president of baseball operations for the Cardinals, Hein Bloom. Like I said, you're going to hear a lot from Bloom this hour. Up next, for those of you who did not catch the press conference, we're going to play back some of the things that Bloom said during the press conference today. And then later on this hour, I got the chance to talk with Hein for about 5 minutes or so. I'll play for you my conversation with him. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's a Hein Bloom hour of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue to take you till 8 o'clock this evening. When we get done, we'll replay the Gas House Gang from earlier today, which we recorded pretty much right when Chaim Bloom wrapped things up with his introductory news conference. So if you missed that earlier today, you're going to get more reaction to what we heard, and that reaction will feature myself, Tom Ackerman, Chris Ranji, and Bernie Miklas. That's going to be coming up after the 8 o'clock news. We have heard a ton from Chaim Bloom on this show, and we're going to continue to hear more from him. For those of you who possibly did not catch the news conference earlier today, kind of like I did yesterday with the John Mozeliak news conference, wanted to go back through and play some of the key things that Chaim Bloom had to say. And I feel like as we get started with this, everything he said was based in the reality that this organization and this team is not where they want to be. They're not winning. And he stated that very directly early on in his news conference.
We are not where we want to be. We are not where we need to be. We are not where our fans expect us to be. And we are not where we expect ourselves to be. Our goal is to field a team every year that can compete for this division and for a World Series championship.
He went through a few things that he thinks is important for the Cardinals moving forward, and he made it clear that he believes that the Cardinals should always be industry leaders across Major League Baseball.
Who are the Cardinals at our best? To me, it's simple. This organization, at its best, sets the standard for the rest of baseball. That's what set this organization apart for 100 years. Going back to when Branch Rickey literally invented the farm system a short walk from where we're sitting here today. To when George Kissel revolutionized how the game was taught. To when Whitey Herzog went all in on a style of play that set the tone for the sport for a decade. And to when, under the DeWitt family's leadership, this organization, including many people who are here, changed the way the industry thought about the amateur draft and about how to use information to make baseball decisions. That's our legacy here. That's who we are at our best. We set the standard. And that standard is always changing. It means something different in 2025 than it meant in 1925 or in 1965 or 2005. And it's going to mean something different in 2035. So now we get to do it again. That takes boldness to do things our way. Not to fear being different if we think different means better. It takes humility, the humility to understand that when it comes to this great game, there's always so much we don't know, so much to learn, and so we can never stand still. We can be good, but we can never be good enough. In this competitive business, the front of the line is always moving. And it takes trust to work together, to communicate well, to have each other's backs, and to hold each other accountable. That's the standard that our fans hold us to as well. And that's what they deserve. A hardworking organization that does things the right way and is never satisfied.
That was one step for the Cardinals to be winning at a high level more consistently. He went into some other things that the Cardinals need to be able to do moving forward.
How do the Cardinals win? Bill has said this time and again, we're a draft and develop organization. And when you look at our history, I think it's pretty clear that he's right. The Cardinals win first and foremost with core players that we acquire and develop. And fundamentally, that operating model that sustained this organization for decades is still sound. But for it to deliver the results that we need, we have to be elite at acquiring and developing baseball talent in every aspect. That means our process in both the domestic amateur draft and the international amateur system. That means how we assess and value players in other organizations, and our own players too. It means how we develop our players physically, how we teach them the game, how we train them in the gym and on the field, how we take care of them in the training room, how we feed them, how we help them stay sharp mentally. It means how we coach at the big league level, how we get the most out of our major league players. It means how we prepare and game plan every night, how we hire and develop our staff, and it means how we leverage information in every area and how we innovate. So we will act with purpose and with urgency to take a fresh look at every one of those areas and work to set a new standard in each of them. Much of that work won't be visible from the outside, but if we do it well, the results will be a steady flow of championship caliber players coming through our organization, dominating details and winning ball games. A core that comes together and sustains itself through the inevitable change that every roster goes through in this industry. That's how the Cardinals win. And that's how we'll work towards our goal every day.
There continues to be a lot of questions about what is this going to look like in the short term? Could the Cardinals be better next season? Are they going to take a step back? A lot of players are expected to get moved. How many of those players? Is it just going to be the redundancies and all the left-handed bats trying to move on from some of those guys? Or is there a possibility that a Sonny Gray could be traded, a Wilson Contreras could be traded? While in this situation, he didn't get real specific, and we heard a little bit about that in this conversation with John Rooney that we played earlier, but he did give a little bit of an idea of what it is going to look like moving forward when it comes to roster building.
And what does that mean for our roster this offseason and into 2026? Well, you heard me say it. We aren't where we want to be, competing for the division and for the World Series. We have talent here. We have more talent coming. And we have some of the makings of that core, but we need more. And so our top priority will be to build our talent base for the long term. That may mean hard decisions and short-term sacrifices, but to get where we want to go, we can't take shortcuts, and we won't. We will always want to win. And we will hunt moves and decisions that allow us to do that right now, too, as long as they also serve our ultimate goal. But when we have to choose between short-term gratification and our bigger goal of contending consistently, we will choose the long-term. We will make moves with that ultimate goal in mind because, simply put, that's where this organization needs to be. And in fact, oftentimes when you're disciplined in following a longer-term strategy, you not only get there more quickly, but you reap short-term rewards along the way. I've experienced that everywhere I've been, and we saw flashes of it here in 2025 too. Now, our strategy is long-term, but we won't lower the standard that we hold here every day. We won't concede anything, and we will always compete. How we work, how we scout, how we train, how we develop, and how we play, those are things we control and that we get to decide every day, and we will get after them with intent. I'm energized and fired up to continue the work that we've begun.
You heard him there be very clear that the decisions that they make are very much going to be based on the long term and getting this team to win on an every year basis at the highest level. And if there's a little bit of growing pains in the early portion of that, they seem to be okay with that. That being said, while the focus is on the long term, they still hope to be able to succeed in the short term as well.
We're not going to concede anything. That's just not how we should operate. That's not the standard we should hold. We just need to be focused on our ultimate goal. And like I said, I think when you do that, you find that that a lot of the time you end up reaping some short-term benefits. We have good talent here, and you know, there's nothing we should concede heading into 2026. We just need to make sure that the things we actually do and the roadmap that we follow is geared towards that bigger goal.
There's been a lot of talk about what they might do for next year when it comes to possibly adding a more big-name player, somebody that might get the fans excited. And you hear those things that we've just played from Bloom, and you get the sense that because the focus is more on the long-term and not the short-term, that that is unlikely. And it probably is. I would not bet on the fact that they're going to go out and get an all-star caliber player to add to the roster for next season. However, Bloom made it clear that it's not impossible they could do that, especially if there's the possibility of adding that kind of player where they've got years of club control on them so they can continue to impact this team for years to come.
There's nothing I would ever take off the table on that front. But again, I think the big thing, the most important thing we need to do in free agency or any arena is just make sure that the things we're pursuing actually make sense for what we're trying to build and what we're trying to build towards. So, I never like to take ourselves out of any opportunities. I just think, you always want to be able to be opportunistic, but we want to make sure those things line up with what we're actually shooting for.
A lot of people have connected Bloom and what he maybe will do in St. Louis to what he did in Tampa, where the Rays have been very successful. They've drafted and developed, but they've also moved on from players. When players have come up on the year of their club control, more often than not, the Rays move on from them. That's not something that Cardinals fans want to see. If the Cardinals are going to start developing high-end talent, the hope would be that they are able to keep those players here. And Bloom, even though he's got that experience and has the track record in Tampa before he went to Boston, he said that he's not coming here to St. Louis to copy what they did with the Rays.
With respect to the Rays, I think one of the things that has made the Rays so successful over the years is that they do it their way. They do it in the way that makes sense for them. You can't copy paste that, or you shouldn't try. The whole reason it works is because, and I was part of this for a while and they've continued to do it. You figure out what you need to do to be the best organization in your circumstances. Every organization is different. Obviously here, this organization's been built on and won with these kind of tentpole players that have been here for a long time. I obviously, you can't do that with everybody necessarily, and you shouldn't do that with everybody. And this organization at many points has actually benefited from staying disciplined with that, but it's also benefited from keeping players here. So when it's the right type of player in person, we're certainly still going to look for opportunities to do that, and we can win that way.
Now, Bloom has been in the organization for a couple years. He came in as a special advisor, and then this past year, he was very much in charge of putting in the infrastructure at the minor league level. So there's a lot of familiarity as he moves into this president of baseball operations role. He says it's been absolutely great to be in the organization leading into this year and leading into this new job.
It's been really unique, and it's had so many positives. I think the biggest thing is really just understanding not just the organization, but the people in the organization. One of the things that my last role allowed me to do was, because my phone wasn't ringing with everything day to day, I had the opportunity to sit down and just get to know a lot of people, see the organization through their eyes. And those relationships are really important. There's always a learning curve. There will be a learning curve even now. But to be able to shorten that where people can understand me a little bit, I can understand them. I think there's some things that I understand about some of the dynamics in the organization and some of the people that normally it's going to take you a year or two really to get to. And to be able to build those connections, have those conversations without all the noise of the day-to-day, I think certainly it's been enjoyable, but I think it's going to be really valuable.
And being in the organization has afforded him the opportunity to get to know a lot of people. That includes the players on the Major League roster and, of course, Oliver Marmol and his coaching staff as well. And Bloom has enjoyed being able to start those relationships.
That's another thing I was able to do this year, was get to know some of our players. Obviously, some of the conversations about their status going forward, some of which I know y'all have covered, those are things that we got into later in the year. But really just to understand, again, you want to see the organization through people's eyes. You should see it through your players' eyes. They're the ones, obviously, that we're counting on. So that's been really helpful. I've enjoyed the ability to get to know these guys, let them get to know me a little bit. Just see what they think. As far as our field staff, there's still some things that we need to sort out with every single person on the staff. But overall, I've enjoyed working with these guys. I expect a lot of continuity. It's a good group of people that really, really cares. You saw it this year. There was a lot of adversity this year. I was in Chicago the last weekend, those games, standings-wise, were not meaningful. You didn't see anything waver. You didn't see the work waver. You didn't see the standard lowered. That tells you a lot. And it's not a surprise based on getting to know this group over the past couple years, but it's meaningful.
Last thing from Bloom here. I thought this was really important. It's not something that you're going to see the fruits of quite yet, but just take it from me here. The Cardinals have done a fantastic job on the fly of really getting player development back on the right track. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday with Bernie Miklas, how a number of publications that rank farm systems already have the Cardinals back in the top 10. Now, some of that is the players that they've added via the draft. It helps to have a J.J. Weatherholt and a Liam Doyle in the organization. But a lot of players have gotten very good teaching and instruction, and they've been put on a better path in the last year with all the infrastructure things that the Cardinals have added, all the staff that they've added, everything that they've done. And while Bloom admits there continues to be a lot of work to do in player development, he definitely sees a lot of improvement and is proud of what has happened over the last year or so.
We've made a lot of progress. Like, when you step back and you think about all the things that we have done, the new processes we've put in place, like all the things that we've asked of our staff and that they've delivered on, like, it really is a lot when you step back. And I think a lot of that progress is already showing in the system. And then I also look and say, you know, we have so much more work left to do. And I know the whole crew in player development and performance feels that way. You know, it's everything that I talked about. You know, we can't be satisfied with just making some progress. We have to keep pushing. So there's a lot more that we want to accomplish. But I think for, you know, so to speak, year one of this, where we were asking a lot of new things of people and wanting their candid feedback so that we can iterate on those things, make them better. Really pleased with where that went, really pleased with where it's going.
That is Chaim Bloom, the new Cardinals president of baseball operations. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to finish off the show with this. I got the opportunity to talk with Chaim for just a few minutes one-on-one. You'll hear my conversation with him in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We're back on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening, talking all things Chaim Bloom. My goal in this show tonight was for you to get as much of an idea on Bloom's kind of baseball philosophy and how he's feeling and what you might see moving forward. Are there still questions coming out of today? Of course there are still questions. A lot of them very much connected to what the roster is going to look like this upcoming season. But today's Sports Open Line, a little bit different than most. I know we haven't had a lot of interaction today, and we'll have a show coming up tomorrow, another full two-hour show, and tomorrow is going to be more that day. We had a little bit in hour number one, but tomorrow's going to be more that day where we'll certainly bank out some time for phone calls and text messages and tweets and all that sort of stuff, because I'll be curious to hear what once you hear everything that has been said by Chaim, what's the feeling moving forward. And I look forward to just really continuing that conversation, not just tomorrow, but this is a conversation that is very much going to be connected or taking place during this entire off season. So you heard the amazing conversation, extended conversation that Chaim had with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. We replayed some of what was said during the press conference today. I got about 5 minutes with Chaim earlier today and wanted to pass along that as well. So let's get right into that. And as Chaim and I sat down for our very quick conversation earlier today, something that you've heard a lot, Chaim very obviously excited for this opportunity and has been for a while. You know, you really think about it. He kind of started serving in this role towards the end of the season. There's been talk about the conversations that he had with players in Chicago and things like that. He's been doing this job now for a little while, and something that he's very excited about and happy to be able to be in this role.
Look, this is a tremendous privilege. Really excited for it. Just excited to be able to move things forward. But that said, you know, the last role was also, again, really unique. Great privilege. Got to do some really good work, got to have some amazing conversations, something that I think is going to be really helpful. So my excitement really was there before, and it's there now, just to continue doing the work with the great people here.
I know there's still more work to do, but even the farm system rankings in the last year, they've shot up. How proud of you of the work that's already been accomplished?
Well, very much so, but we got to keep working. You know, I try to not focus too much on external opinions. They are a good barometer. You know, it's usually a good indicator when that happens, and there's a lot of work that's gone into that. You know, there's a lot of people, some of whom are in this room, many of whom are not, that really deserve credit for whatever good things are going on and how this talent base is growing. We cannot stop here. We have to keep this going. We need to be elite at developing talent and churning out young talent to win games for us on this field.
Can you share a little bit about the conversations, this, whether it's the spring training complex, whether it's adding staff? There are a lot of expenditures and new resources being added. As you've been with the DeWitts and talked about what this team needs, what's there been the response? Because, I mean, there's been a few dollars spent here recently.
Yeah, and they've been great with that, really supportive of all the investments that we're trying to make. I want to make sure we do this thoughtfully. You know, it's really, as with everything we do, you know, we want to be thoughtful, efficient, you know, allocate our resources well, but they've been super supportive. And, you know, as I've gotten to know them over the past couple of years, the success of this organization this century really is not an accident. They were on to the importance of infrastructure, on to the importance of development, and the things you actually need to do concretely to make that happen. They were on to that well before most of the industry, and that's really like their resting place. And that's a good thing because that's still a model that works. You have to be able to win with young talent, and they've always believed that, and that's why they've been so successful.
In your press conference, you mentioned Branch Rickey and Whitey Herzog and some people. What's it been like for you digging in and you know, George Kissel, just learning the history of the organization and how about that can continue to guide this organization moving forward?
Yeah, I love the history of our game. It's one of the special things about this sport. This organization's got as much of it as anybody. And some of that I knew from the outside. And then when you're in the organization, you just get to understand some more of the nuance. It's really neat. Like, it's an advantage that this organization has. Now, we can't be held prisoner by that past. We got to make sure we're building on it by doing our own way. And that's really what I tried to message today, is that I think the best way to honor that legacy, honor that history, is to keep pushing forward, because that's what those guys did. And I think we honor them by continuing to find new ways to win.
This is a great day today, but you walk out of here, there are tough decisions to be made. You alluded to those. How challenging is that, jumping in? There's going to be names that probably aren't on the roster and things like that. How tough is it to go make those kind of moves?
You know, it's part of the business. Emotionally, you never love those to the extent that you get to know people and you end up making tough decisions about them. But we all understand that's part of the business. It's how we compete. And, you know, we have to be, like I said, very disciplined in pursuing our goals and making the tough decisions that will get us there.
You've got kids. Have they glommed on to any Cardinals players quite yet?
Oh, man. Yeah, they're big baseball fans. They have a lot of hot takes about the Cardinals. It's probably a really good thing for everybody that they were not up there with me today, because they've got a lot of opinions.
Thank you so much for your time.
You bet.
That was my conversation with new president of baseball operations for the Cardinals, Chaim Bloom. John Mozeliak was fantastic in terms of his accessibility. You heard him just about every Sunday morning with Tom Ackerman. We almost never asked for something of Mo that he did not give in terms of his time and interviews and things like that, and we're very appreciative. I would think that it's largely going to be the same with Chaim. And, you know, we've had Rob Serfolio on the show, and we hope to have other members, important members of the Cardinals organization. I think it's important for fans to hear from these people who are leading the organization. How are they feeling? What are they thinking? Well, we'll try to get as much of that to you as possible. We've got one more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it for one final time. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, taking you till 8 o'clock. Don't want you to go anywhere. That's just a general statement. Don't want you to go anywhere away from KMOX. But specifically, in case you missed it earlier today, and I always know that a lot of people, especially here in the 7 o'clock hour, probably a different audience than what we have in the middle of the afternoon. That's why I played back so much of what Chaim Bloom had to say in his press conference today, because I'm guessing a lot of people had not heard that. And then the show that that we did this afternoon during the 12 o'clock hour, Gas House Gang, immediately following the press conference. That's going to get replayed beginning at 8 o'clock. So I'll be part of that along with Tom Ackerman and Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji. So that's going to be coming up in just a few moments. As we do start to wrap things up, just kind of some final thoughts on the day. I'll be honest, going into today, and it was, if you were listening yesterday ad nauseum, I kept telling you over and over and over and over and over that I thought we were going to hear them talking about a rebuild today. Because John Mozeliak made that statement yesterday that where he said, you might hear something different tomorrow. Well, we didn't hear it directly that they're in a rebuild, but also we didn't get a lot of pushback when the term rebuild was used. And sometimes a rebuild doesn't have to be tear everything down. We know that there are pieces on this team that the team has club control over for a good number of years that they feel like can be part of a winning group moving forward. But what they have to do is increase the talent at the highest level of the roster. You're going to hear me say this during Gas House Gang. No, you know what? Actually, you won't hear me say it because we did it before, technically, Gas House Gang. So I'll repeat myself from something I said at 11 o'clock. Cardinals fans, it's okay to desire more. It's okay to desire a better roster, a roster that can win more at the highest level. And what prompted me to say that today was somebody sent in a message about what the Cardinals, like middle of the order bats, could look like, and could they add something to go along with Wilson Contreras and maybe Yvonne Herrera. And I want to be very clear when I say what I'm about to say, because this is not me denigrating Wilson Contreras. This is not me saying that he is not a very good player who is a winning ball player who can do a lot of things for you. His production that he puts up, even at first base, is perfectly acceptable. But if the Cardinals are going to have a roster where a guy who hits 20 home runs is the best player on the roster, the best hitter on the roster, bluntly, that's a problem. And I hate citing the Chicago Cubs, but I'm going to. And we saw them hit some home runs in their game against the Padres earlier today. When the Cubs have a bunch of dudes who all have better than 30 home runs, that's a big reason why they are as good of a scoring offense as they are. So I can sit here and say that yes, while the Cardinals do have some good players, yes, the Cardinals have some players that if they keep around can be part of this club moving forward. But I can also say the Cardinals need a lot of work at the top of the roster, both from a hitting perspective and from a pitching perspective. And we didn't even talk much about pitching today. And that's something that I think Cardinals fans should be especially excited about, because Bloom's track record when it comes to identifying and developing pitching that can be really good, he's got a great, great track record when it comes to that. But this team, if they want to get back to a place, and there was so much said today, looking back at the history of the Cardinals being industry leaders in so many different categories, and that has fallen off. And could they do some things to Band-Aid the roster and maybe it'd be good enough for them to be a postseason club? Sure. We got a comment on the stream earlier today with somebody saying the Cardinals made a mistake when they didn't bring back Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson for this year, because those guys would have been better than anything in the rotation, and maybe the team would have been a playoff club. Yeah, maybe they would have. Maybe those guys would have done a nice job. Maybe you would have won 3, 4, 5, 6 more games this year. But that shouldn't be the goal. The goal, the desire, should be a really good team, a lineup, top to bottom, tough hitters, pitchers galore, that are really good and strike guys out and have ton of success. This is not me taking a shot at Wilson Contreras. This is not me taking a shot at some of the pitchers that are part of the team now. This is simply me saying, if you want to go win a World Series again in the somewhat near future, the roster can't be what the roster is right now. If you're comfortable just being a team that's band-aided together and just can sneak into the postseason, which that's not what Cardinals fans want, because anytime I talk about Mo's the lack of success in the last 3 years, but Mo had a pretty good run before that, people always push back on me and say, well, but they haven't won playoff games really in the last 10 years. They haven't won the playoff success hasn't been there. That's what Cardinals fans expect. Cardinals fans, for the most part, expect the team to win at the highest level and to be a legitimate championship contender. And maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit here, but I think Hein Bloom is the right guy to get the organization back on that path. And there was nothing that was said or done today that would get me to think anything else. Thank you for being tuned in all day long with us. It's been a fun day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow for another Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.